How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy Lou Gowerd.
Start dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Yeah, dudes, dogs, and damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Oh, I've been working nights.
They call me Tommy the Rationalizer.
We all know Tommy Lugauer is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lugauer on The Fan.
Say it, honey.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lugauer. Lugie. 888-808-1019. Despite a typical June swoon, the Yankees are still the best team in the American League. You know, two things can be true here. It is a June swoon. It is a typical June swoon. And much like a theme park ride that you've been on quite a few times, where you can predict what's coming next, when you know what's coming around each and every bend, that is a Yankee season under Aaron Boone. Get off to hot starts. Struggle in June, kind of get by throughout the summer, and then late August into September, you get red hot, and you find yourself in October pretty much year in and year out. And that's exactly the same script that 2026 has taken for the Yankees. But make no mistake, the Yankees are the best team in the American League. In a weak league, now, that's not to take anything away from the Yankees, but I just think it helps their cause, the fact that there isn't a lot of competition, if any, really, in the American League. Like, I'm not buying the White Sox. I'm not buying the Guardians. The Mariners just can't get out of their own way. I mean, they've just been dreadful as far as when you consider their, you know, their standards that you put into the season and what you figured they would be. And what they've actually been halfway through the year, you know, scuffling and being right around 500. The Rangers stink. The Rays are good, but I wouldn't call them a great team. So when you look at the Yankees, and even though this is their typical June swoon, it's a team that has a lot of injuries, most notably to their best player, one of their best pitchers, and obviously key players like Stanton, Grisham, and perhaps now Jazz Chisholm, who is in concussion protocol. But despite all of that, the Yankees are still the best team in the American League. They're not perfect. They do have flaws that I think they can help fix at the deadline. And by they, I mean Brian Cashman, catcher being one of them, even though Aaron Boone thinks Austin Wells is ready to turn things around. That feels like more something a manager is going to say about a player than it actually is a reality. And then the bullpen outside of Bednar, you're still a little bit nervous as far as Bridges to get to him. I think the Yankees would probably add a 2 to 3 relievers, much like they did last year at the deadline. But this is still the best team in the American League. The Yankees are. And despite their typical June swoon, and I don't really have a diagnosis for it, why year in and year out this happens. I really don't. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. This is just the pattern that the Yankees seem to take year in and year out under Aaron Boone. And who knows now, because they started late here with the June swoon, it could bleed into July. It could be one of those June line spoons. It could be one of those things where you are combining June and July, late June and early July, and that makes it more of a June into July swoon. But either way, the Yankees are the best team in the American League. And it feels like for the first time, their injuries are also catching up to them. Obviously, when you don't have Aaron Judge in the lineup, that is a big, big hole in your lineup and on your team, not only offensively, but defensively. And defensively, the Yankees have been a mess over the last 5 games. And you know it's bad when Bellinger, who is arguably the best outfielder in baseball in terms of defense, when he's not catching a fly ball, it really, really hammers home the state of the defense for the Yankees right now. Caballero's making errors. This is just a team right now that is playing sloppy, that is going through a June swoon. That is a group that I think injuries are catching up to them, and they're just in a funk. They're not hitting. Weathers wasn't good tonight. The pitching hasn't been up to snuff. Now, look, you get Schlittler tomorrow, which is, I mean, you always have a very, very good chance of winning. The only problem is that you're facing Skubal on the other side. But all phases of the game right now aren't working for the Yankees. And when all phases aren't working, that is a recipe for a losing streak. That is a recipe for not playing good baseball in a 10-game stretch. That is a recipe for what the Yankees are doing right now. What their lack of doing is resulting in this poor play. But the good news, the bright side, the positive side of things is the Yankees are the best team in baseball. I believe they're going to the World Series. I don't see a major challenger right now in the American League, a team that could step up and be a roadblock for the Yankees getting back to the World Series for the second time in 3 years. This is just a bump in the road. A typical bump in the road. Like, this is what you expect. This is like when you're driving somewhere and you know you have to go over the George Washington Bridge and you expect traffic. Or I'm going on the Belt Parkway, which they've been doing construction on for the last 100 years. You expect there to be traffic. All right, I'm going through the Holland Tunnel during rush hour. There's going to be traffic. I'm driving out to the east end of Long Island on a summer weekend. Okay, it's going to be traffic. You expect this type of play from the Yankees in June. Doesn't excuse it. But you expect it. It's nothing new. It is the typical June swoon. And I wonder out loud, even if they were healthy, if it would make a difference. But certainly when you don't have Judge, when you don't have Stanton, when you don't have Grisham, when you don't have Fried, and now perhaps you might be without Jazz Chisholm, we'll see. He hasn't been diagnosed with a concussion, Jazz, but he is in concussion protocol and obviously took a nasty spill running into the bicep, and that's a pretty big bicep, on Jason Dominguez. And I don't know what the deal was there. I mean, Aaron Boone was asked about it after the game, and he didn't really give the greatest of responses to it in terms of, did anybody call anybody off, and was there a lack of communication? The bottom line is this. When a human face runs into a bicep, the bicep wins. And Jazz Chisholm's face lost. And it was one of those scenes where he was on the ground for a while, and it was pretty scary. They were checking his jaw. They were checking his head. And ultimately, he was able to leave on his own power. But and it's been an eventful, you know, week or so for Jazz Chisholm. First, the lollipop situation, then the getting thrown out of the game on Sunday Night Baseball situation, and then this scenario that played out tonight where he ran into Jason Dominguez's arm, more specifically his bicep. And good on Jazz Chisholm, by the way. It sounded like, you know, Meredith had a report during the game that Jazz, you know, addressed his teammates and apologized for getting ejected Sunday night, which, look, I've defended Jazz Chisholm. I thought the lollipop situation was a complete and utter overreaction. I thought it was fake and false outrage, and I understand that we have to find things sometimes to be aggravated and angry about. And when it's a player like Jazz Chisholm, which I think Yankee fans have grown tired a little bit of his antics, which is your own personal choice, but Jazz Chisholm is a terrific baseball player. He's certainly an all-star caliber player with speed and power. And he's not having the best of seasons, and I think he's put a lot of pressure on himself, obviously, contract year and the 50-50 comments that he made before the year where he wanted to go 50 homers, 50 stolen bases coming off a 30-30 year. But Jazz Chisholm is still an important member of this team, and you hope the best for him that this is just one of the... Because when it comes to head injuries, when it comes to dealing with concussion protocol, no scenario is similar to the other. Some guys can get better in a day or two. Some guys a couple days. Some guys weeks. Some guys months. Some guys... You really never know. I think back to Anthony Rizzo a couple years ago. It's always a scary and a sensitive thing that you have to deal with. And you want to make sure that a player is completely, totally healthy and ready to go. Because we're talking about a head injury. We're talking about the brain. We're talking about something that shouldn't be messed with. It's not a shoulder, it's not a leg, it's not a knee, it's not a tuchus. It is a head, so it's something that you want to be careful with. And it looked like Dominguez, when he ran into the wall too, he kind of hit his knee slash side, but everything seemed to be all right after that. I mean, look, sometimes you're snake bit, but you'd rather be snake bit in June than be snake bit in September or even worse, October. So it's a long way to go before what truly matters for this team and the run it back scenario that the Yankees did this year. And I said this about the Knicks all season long, and I think there's a lot of parallels, and I'll continue to make parallels between the Yankees and Knicks, and that is the Knicks had a bare minimum get to the finals. Now, obviously, they went above and beyond that by winning the championship, but the Yankees, bare minimum, they have to get to the World Series. The American League is extremely weak. The Yankees are extremely talented. I mean, when you go top three in the rotation like the Yankees can with Schlittler, Fried, and Gerrit Cole, and by the way, I'm not worried about Gerrit Cole despite his recent struggles in his last couple games. I'm not. And Gerrit Cole's role on this team is a third starter. He's no longer the ace. Now, they respect him to that level because of his tenure and what he's done, not only with the Yankees, but as a big leaguer. But as far as the ace of this staff, I mean, it's Cam Schlittler. You're going to see him tomorrow night, and he's the most dominant pitcher in this rotation. We've already seen him under the bright lights of October. He can get it done. Max Fried, I would say, is number two, and then you have Gerrit Cole as your third starter. I mean, you could do a heck of a lot worse. I mean, that's the best top three pitchers as far as a rotation goes in all of baseball, certainly in the American League, which gives the Yankees an enormous leg up. And then obviously when you have Judge, when you have Rice, when you have a healthy Stanton, when you have Bellinger, and you have, look, they're going to add a catcher. Obviously, I mean, Austin Wells, and we'll get into him a little bit more as the show rolls on, but he has just been dreadful, and I don't think the Yankees are in a situation that they can continue to be patient. I mean, the deadline is approaching. Cashman's going to have to make a move, and they're going to have to bring in an offensive catcher. They're just going to have to, because this is the Yankees. I mean, your starting catcher can't have whatever he's got, 10 RBIs or 3 or 4 home runs and be on pace for under 30 RBIs in a year. I mean, the defense is good from Wells, but that's just production that you can't live with at catcher as far as offensively. So Brian Cashman's, as he usually does, has some work to do at the deadline. Look, the Yankees were very active at the deadline last year. I think they had the most trades in all of baseball. I expect them to be active again, especially in the bullpen, at catcher. Maybe even add another bat besides catcher. I would not go starting pitcher. I especially wouldn't go Skubal. I mean, this idea that the Yankees, there would even be talk about trying to trade for Skubal, to me makes absolutely zero sense when you consider the top three pitchers that they have and the depth they have in this rotation. I mean, if you want Skubal, sign him in the offseason. I'm not giving up pieces for Skubal. As great as he is, and on any given day, he's the best pitcher in baseball, but I am not trading away pieces that I could either use for other trades to fill bigger needs, because starting, I mean, needs in general, I mean, starting pitching is not a need, but needs in general, and I could keep those pieces if I want. And Skubal's a free agent, so in all likelihood, it might be, or there's the risk that, hey, this is a rental. And if it's a situation where you thought you lost Fried for the year, then we can have the conversation. But in all likelihood, obviously, Fried is going to be back, Judge is going to be back, and the Yankees will eventually get back to full strength. And when they do, they are head and shoulders the best team in the American League. Head and shoulders. And this is a team that has dealt with a lot of injuries. They've dealt with adversity, and they still hold the second best record in the American League. And as far as I'm concerned, they're the best team, because they have 48 wins and they've been missing a lot of key players for big parts of this season, as we're pretty much at the little over the halfway point. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. I got you for another 3 hours. We'll take your Yankee calls. We'll also open up the conversation to the Mets, in particular their managerial search. We will talk about the Knicks as well. More back end of the show as free agency is upon us. The Knicks made a move earlier today, bringing back Landry Shamet. We'll get into that. Plus the future, what is it for Mitchell Robinson? Is it going to be here in New York? Is it going to be elsewhere? There was a big trade in the NBA, and are the Warriors trying to build another dynasty? So we have a lot of basketball. That will be more back end of the show. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
6 minutes after 11 p.m. here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888 888- 808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation. Yankees lost again tonight after a four-game sweep at the hand of the Red Sox. Up in Boston, the Yankees have now lost 9 out of their last 12 games. They trailed 3 games in the loss column to the Rays. And despite all of that, it's the typical June swoon. It's to be expected under Aaron Boone. And also with the injuries that the Yankees have, with Judge being out, with Fried being out, with Grisham being out, with Stanton being out, with Jazz Chisholm now in concussion protocol. None of this comes as a big surprise. The good news is for the Yankees, they're the best team in the American League. The American League is extremely weak. I mean, there is one team in the American League West over 500, and it's the Rangers, and they're a game over 500. There are two teams over 500 in the Central, and one of them is Cleveland. They're only 3 games over, and we all know what happens when the Yankees meet the Guardians. The White Sox, I think, are just a little too young, a little too ahead of schedule. Toronto, you've been waiting for them to wake up, potentially. They're still 5 games under 500. They haven't been able to kick it into the next gear. And then you have Tampa. I think Tampa, if you're going to pay, I mean, Seattle, we could be waiting forever for them to wake up, and they're a loser franchise. As far as Tampa, and I've said this before and I'll continue to say it, so this is why it's important to win the division if you're the Yankees. Number one, Aaron Boone managed teams always do better when they have a home field in a series. And also, the Trop, it's a dump, but it's Tampa's dump, and it's a house of horror for the Yankees. So the last thing you want to do is have more games down there than you do up here in a postseason matchup. So it's paramount for the Yankees to win this division. And Tampa looked like they were going to run and hide, you know, going into Memorial Day. It was getting pretty dicey there as far as early in the year, at least. I mean, the Yankees were in jeopardy going into a weekend series with Tampa, potentially falling, 7, 8, 9 games out of first place in the loss column. The Yankees split that weekend series. Judge hits the home run, the walk-off on the Sunday Memorial Day weekend. The Yankees end up taking off. The Rays went in the opposite direction. And then all of a sudden, the Yankees had a nice, comfortable lead in the AL East, and it looked like they were going to cruise this summer to a division title. Now, things have kind of gone the opposite direction. Tampa is 7-3 in their last 10. The Yankees are 2-8 in their last 10. And now it's the Yankees once again looking up at Tampa. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. But I do think the Yankees are still the best team in the American League, and it is important to win the division. Not saying the Yankees can't beat Tampa if Tampa has home field. I think they can, but you'd certainly rather have it and not have to go down to that dump down there more than, and I say that, you know, they know that. I mean, it's not exactly a palace, but the Rays do play better baseball down there, and that's actually one of the, going into the year, it was one of the overs I actually bet on, but I thought Tampa would finish with more wins than their over-under, which I think was 76.5, whatever the case was. And I didn't think they'd be this good, obviously, but I thought going back to their building, to their stadium, would do them a lot of good. And it certainly has, as they are on pace now to be the first team to 50 wins in the American League. Let's go to Antonio in Brooklyn here on After Hours. What's up, Antonio?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up?
I can't even start with the Yankees, but I wouldn't even say it's a June swoon. More because with everybody missing.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about Grisham or Stanton. I'm talking more of the Judge and the Fried.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Aaron Judge, obviously. And then, because Fried, I mean, Fried is every 5 days, but Aaron Judge, I mean, this is the first, you know, 5 game stretch where I feel like, man, you're missing Aaron Judge because they're not hitting at all right now. And obviously his presence in the lineup, you know, impacts everybody.
Yeah, I think it's more pressure now being put on Rice and Bellinger after they started off hot without Judge. But even this year, as like lifelong Yankee fan, I've had more hope this year than even when the Yankees had Soto to possibly win the World Series, just because how much depth there is in this lineup now, besides obviously Wells and Volpe occasionally.
Yeah. Look, there's still some holes in the lineup, but those holes are going to be filled in come the trade deadline, obviously, and you just hope those players you bring in are going to be able to produce. It's going to be hard not to produce any. You can't produce any worse than Austin Wells, but guys like Goldschmidt have been really a godsend. I mean, Paul Goldschmidt's playing at a level that we saw in his prime of his career, so that's a huge thing. Bellinger was obviously a crucial signing. I mean, he's a guy that can help you win a baseball game in multiple different ways. Caballero was a tremendous pickup last year at the deadline, so I agree with you on the depth. The starting pitching is phenomenal. I mean, Bednar has been excellent ever since the Subway Series. You know, the middle relief could use some help, but again, you can address that at the deadline. It's not like you can't find relief help. We don't know how they're going to pitch, but it's not like you can't find it. So I agree with you on the depth.
Yeah.
And I also say that the American League is not good. So I hear you. The path for the Yankees 100%. To get there should, much like the Knicks, it should benefit the Yankees because they're probably not going to have to break a sweat to get there.
Exactly, yeah. And then I'm not worried about Cole either. I mean, I was shocked he started off better than I expected.
Same.
He hasn't pitched since 24.
Correct. Major injury, a little bit older player. I was stunned that he came back as sharp as he did. This is what I expected early on. I mean, he's still only, you know, early on in his return, but those first couple of starts, he looked like prime Gerrit Cole, and I was like, what the heck? Is he going to be that this whole year? This is what I figured it would be early, and then eventually he would settle in. But again, Gerrit Cole, Antonio, is your third starter. That, when you think about it, it's Schwarber, Freed, and then Cole. So when he rounds into shape, that's a heck of a third starter.
Yeah, I can't be more happy. And overall, I can't even be more happy with the team. Looking at it back from like 2 years ago, even when people are still mad about Soto now, I'm not even like phased about it. I think we're better off without him.
Well, I think Ben Rice certainly, you know, softens that blow. And obviously the offseason you had, you know, whatever you want to call it, pivot, plan, I don't, whatever. But they went and they signed Fried and they brought in a lot of players, Bellinger, which is now made up sort of the nucleus of the team surrounding Judge and Stanton and guys of that nature. Look, you could say what you want about Brian Cashman, and it's difficult to win a championship, but one thing that he does, and this is a credit to the organization, is the Yankees are good every year. They never finish under 500. They always have a chance to get to October and win a World Series, and that says a lot about their culture and just the organization in general.
It's going pretty well. I can't complain.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can. I'm sure that we'll hear from Yankee fans, and I appreciate the call, that will complain tonight. If you view this in a vacuum, in a bubble, yes, there's a lot to complain about right now. And if you want to, 888-808-1019, absolutely, because the defense has been awful. The pitching has not been good. The offense has not been good. Aaron Boone's been all right, but in the eyes of some Yankee fans, he's never all right. But when you consider the injuries, when you consider how this team normally plays in June under Aaron Boone, this was to be expected. Now, like last year, when you don't win the division, and the head-to-head matchups against Tampa, really, I think the head-to-head matchups against Tampa this year, much like last year against Toronto, are going to tell the story, are going to tell the, could make the difference. And so far, Tampa's had the better end of that. I believe they're 4-1 against the Yankees. I'll double-check that. But so far, Tampa has had the edge over the Yankees. And if they do have the edge in the season series and they have that tiebreaker, it could come down to a tiebreaker. And if that's the case, the Yankees would lose out on the division, which obviously would make the road a little bit tougher for them. But I expect this team to turn things around. I'm just not sure when that's going to happen, because they started off to a good start in June. They started off to a good start, and now they're ending June on a low note, and they got to end June, yes, with Schlittler on the mound, but also with Skubal on the mound, who is still coming back off an injury here, and I don't think he's going to be as sharp as, you know, prime peak Skubal. And obviously Schlittler coming off of, you know, he had that one bad start, and then his last start wasn't bad. It's just the defense kind of let him down. But defensively, it's hard to trust the Yankees right now. Look, this should be a get-right spot against Detroit because they're not a good team, but you want to get that first one because then you got to see Skubal. But on the flip side, you have Schlittler. And whenever the Yankees get going and they kind of snap this skid, which could be tomorrow, it could be a week, it could be 2 weeks, you know, try to weather the storm. But once they weather the storm, the Yankees do, and they get a lot of their guys back healthy. Look, obviously Judge is not coming back anytime soon. I'd say the earliest is mid-August. Now, maybe early August, but certainly first half of August, I think, is a fair expectation to get the captain back. But as far as some other players, you know, Grissom sounds like he's going to come back soon. Freed, things of that nature. The Yankees will round into shape. So I wouldn't be worried, big picture. Small picture, yes. In a vacuum, last 10 games, not good. Let's head out to Alina in Little Falls. She was at the game tonight. What's going on?
Hi, Tommy.
Hey,
good evening.
By the way, I think I screwed up your name again. I know we've been over this a million times. Is it? Now, give it to me one more time, because I went Lena, and as it was coming out of my mouth, I went, yeah, I definitely screwed that up. But is it Lena? Lena? Give me it one more time.
It's Lena.
Lena.
You said it right, but yeah, it's Lena, yeah.
Okay. Apologies on that. You know, with somebody with the last name Lugauer, I sympathize with that because nobody could get my last name right, so I don't want to screw up people's names. So
yeah, my last name is Armenian, so you figure that out. It's really hard to say, but anyway. I want to, first of all, thank you for all your positivity. I truly appreciate it, especially on a day like this.
Well,
when my friend and I were at the game. His rep had upgraded our seats, so we were really happy. And then, honestly, the guys seemed so sluggish and so tired. At one point, I thought I was watching the Mets play in that field. So,
well, you think mentally maybe they're a little bit shook up from that weekend, especially Sunday night's loss. To battle back the way they did and to lose that game, that was a gut punch. So I wouldn't be surprised if mentally this team is dragging a little bit. And when you don't have Aaron Judge's presence in that clubhouse and you're missing a bunch of guys and you're kind of going through it as a team and not playing well, it's easy for things to snowball a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that the whole four games were soul crushing, especially last night. I wanted to ask you two questions. Surprisingly, I'm not going to start complaining about Volpe today. But I wanted to ask your opinion. Do you think Cole's going to go back to being vintage Cole? And my second question is, now that Aaron Judge is not in the clubhouse as a leader, as a presence, who do you think the guys are looking up to? Is it Goldie? Is it Belly? Who do you think that filling up for that presence that Aaron Judge had in that clubhouse?
Yeah, and I'll start with the part two of your question. Not just Judge. I mean, obviously he's the captain, but Stanton is a major leader.
Yes.
Oh, big
Stanton
time.
Too.
And he's kind of underrated and underappreciated, not from the team, but just around baseball. I feel like Stanton doesn't get enough credit for what kind of leader he is. So not having that presence there, you know, certainly on the field and things of that nature. Obviously these guys are, you know, around at times, but to not have those guys around all the time, it matters. So I think you look at veterans like Bellinger and Goldschmidt and even Gerrit Cole, people that have been around the block. So I think that's where the Yankees are looking for their leadership. I think Caballero is even a leader, sort of a fiery, vocal guy.
Right.
And then as far as the first part, I don't know about vintage Gerrit Cole because he's coming off a major injury and he's a little bit older. But I think that he will settle into a good role here as the third starter. And even if you get 85% towards vintage Gerrit Cole, the fact that he would be, let's say, your game three starter in a playoff series, that to me is where you want to be with the Yankees. You'd sign for that, all things considered.
Okay. I mean, Goldie's been such a blessing. I'm so glad we got him back this year. Okay. I mean, I'm not too concerned. Like, on a day like this, I could easily get negative, especially coming off of Boston soul crushing like that. But I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah, and you've seen the movie before. You've seen this movie before in June. So it's one of those things where, like I said, it's kind of going into a haunted house. And it's like, okay, I know this part's scary, but then when I get through this scary part, we'll have some cotton candy. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of know cotton candy's on the back end here.
Yeah, thanks for reminding us, Tommy.
Yeah.
Thanks for reminding us it's going to be okay. Thank you. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, you too. It really is. I mean, as much as they're not playing well right now, and they're not, I mean, I'm not going to put lipstick on a pig and tell you, oh, this Yankee team, they're just amazing. They're doing all these things. They're not doing anything well. But when you factor in, you know, injuries and clubhouse presence and this typical June swoon, which maybe it's a little bit overblown, and perhaps this year it is because of the injuries, but how about a combination of injuries and this is the time of year where the Yankees normally don't play well under Aaron Boone? I think the combination of that is leading to the last 10 days. So the only thing you have to worry about as a Yankee fan right now, seriously, the only thing you have to, well, two things. Two things you got to worry about. Okay, three things. And the third one, I think, is more irrational, so I'll save that for last. I think it's more irrational. But the three things you got to worry about. Number one, Tampa. If Tampa runs and hides or beats you up heads up, you know, that could present the problem where they would win the division. So you got to worry about that. Deadline, meaning the trade deadline, and you got to hope. And look, based on his track record, I mean, certainly last year, I mean, Brian Cashman did a lot, but you need Brian Cashman to shore up some of the loose ends on this team. And the third one, and this one's irrational, because I do think he's going to come back, but Aaron Judge and his health. Because obviously, I mean, they went through a million tests with him, and they were trying to rule out a bunch of serious things that would have been season-ending. You worry about whether or not he can come back and what type of shape he will be in when he comes back. But I think that's more in the irrational, meaning like that's where your fandom takes over, and you're like, oh boy, until I see him on the field, I'm going to... Sometimes as Knicks fans, we feel that about OG Anunoby. And like, you hear he's day-to-day, and then you look up, and it's 30 days later, and he's still out. And it's one of those things, hey, until Anunoby takes the court for an actual game, you don't believe he's going to return to the lineup. So I think that's where you're at as far as things you're worrying about. But as far as this stretch, I would just chalk it up to injuries starting to catch up to them, slash typical June, maybe even bleeds a little bit into July because it started late in June swoon. But the Yankees, in my estimation, are still the best team in the American League. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Loogie here in the late night. If you are on hold right now, we will get to you. We still have 2.5 hours to go on the show. So if you want to hit me up with your Yankee calls, we'll mix it up a little bit with the Mets later. We'll get into their managerial search. We'll talk all things Mets. A lot of NBA news, including with the Knicks, as they have brought back Landry Shamet on a 4-year deal. We'll find out what's going on with Mitchell Robinson. There's some news about Huck Porty tonight, too, that we'll get into as well. So big trade in the NBA. Ja Morant on the move. Could the Warriors be looking at a LeBron James, Anthony Davis additions here in the offseason? There's a lot to discuss, and there's plenty of time to discuss it. Plus your phone calls, 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. It is Loogie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
11:28 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Loogie. It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Another 2.5 hours to go. We'll get into the Mets a little bit later on in the show. Probably starting next hour, the midnight hour. Their managerial search. All things Mets. The Eric Chavez comments. The Juan Soto, let's say, lack of response to those comments. That's coming up next hour. And then the final hour, we're getting a little more of the NBA, the Knicks. What's going on with Mitchell Robinson? What's going on with Huck Porty? We know Landry Shamet's coming back on a 4-year deal. There was also a major trade in the NBA. Ja Morant has a new home. We'll get into that. Could the Warriors be bringing in LeBron James and Anthony Davis to create a, I guess, new super team, although certainly at an advanced age super team, but nonetheless a super team? So plenty to do here for the next 2.5 hours. And your phone calls, 888-808-1019. As the Yankees lose again, 9 of their last 12. Defense was sloppy. The offense isn't there. The pitching wasn't there. But I'm not worried about it. I still think this is the best team in the American League. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's head over to James in Rockland County. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey Tommy. I have a question about a couple of things. First of all, the Yankees, their bullpen hasn't been great also. I'm wondering about Oscar Brazabar to the Yankees.
You would like the Mets and Yankees to make a trade?
Yes.
The problem is that that doesn't usually happen. I mean, we've seen it. I mean, there's been times. So, I mean, Luis Torrens recently comes to mind. I mean, there have been trades between the Yankees and Mets. And, James, you know what? Get yourself situated there. You got a lot going on. Once you get yourself situated, feel free to call back. But it feels like you had more going on, you know, outside the phone call than you did during the phone call, which is totally cool. I say this all the time. I feel like there are moments where I'm interrupting the people that are on hold. Because obviously I'm just sitting here. Where am I going? I'm doing the show. I'm doing the After Hours. I almost called it the Lugauer, which there's so much branding going on with me. It's hard to remember all the things sometimes. There was the Lugauer, then there was the Lugauer for Hours, then there's After Hours, and of course, a five-hour After Hours is a big Lugowski. And obviously, there's Positive Tommy in primetime. There's Lugie in the late night. Now, hopefully, everybody had a pleasant Lug evening. And then, obviously, there's Positive Tommy. There at times could be, I suppose, Negative Tommy. There is Positive Tommy in moderation. There's also Delusional Tommy or Delulu Tommy. There is Tommy the Pothole Slayer. There's Tommy the Rationalizer. There's Tommy the Total Package. There's Tommy the Legend. There's Tommy the Family Man. There's also Tommy the Hopeless Romantic. There's also Tommy the Wedding Crasher. It's wedding season! It's also, there's just so many Tommies, it's hard to remember. And without Connor here, who reminds me via drops, I think the fact that I rung off, you know, 15 or 16 of there, I think is a credit to me. But Connor is usually good to back up and give me the other Tommies that do exist. But you never, oh, Tommy Ticker Tape or Ticker Tape Tommy. Tommy Potholes, Tommy Takes, Tommy Pucks. And if you don't think I know Puck, well, then I don't really give a puck what you think because I know Puck. So Puck you, quite frankly. I mean, excuse my French, but I know Pucks. So I am Tommy Pucks. But there's just so many Tommies. So you really never know what you're going to get. And maybe even once in a while you get moderate Tommy, although I prefer Positive Tommy in moderation. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. Okay, let's head out to Jay in North Jersey here on After Hours. What's up, Jay?
Mr. Lug, always call you about the Knicks. How you doing, pal?
Hey, what's happening?
I got a new segment. It's called Hockaloogie, where you could spit in somebody's face when we don't like what's going on. And a lot of these Yankee fans, including myself, it's not a boon bash, but if Tom, if me and you run a team and every year it's the same outcome with Boone, how at some point we don't get tired of it and we say, we got to look in a new direction. I don't know if Aaron Judge is saying, don't get rid of this guy. Like, we've had enough with this guy. I mean, it sealed the deal for me. When you were up 5-0 in the World Series and that collapse happened and you don't walk out as a manager onto that field to settle your team down or settle your pitcher down. Ever since then, I just know to a point I'm done with Boone. So when you say a team can stand in the way in the American League, Boone can stand in the way.
Well, yeah, the Yankees' biggest obstacle is the Yankees. It is Aaron Boone. You talk about the World Series, obviously the decision in Game 1, you know, the Tim Hill and Nestor Cortez fiasco. And you brought up something there that is actually kind of interesting, and we found out a lot about Aaron Judge and the pull and the stroke that he has. I mean, he was, a big part of the run-it-back plan that the Yankees had in the offseason. So perhaps it is Aaron Judge who is the biggest supporter of Aaron Boone, and he wants him around because of whatever. He's a player's manager. He likes kind of the culture that he sets. So if Aaron Judge wants Aaron Boone around, much like in the NBA, I mean, if the star players want a manager or want a coach around, he stays. If they want him fired, he's gone. So perhaps it is Judge that is the Boone supporter, and that's one of the reasons why Aaron sticks around despite not having won a championship.
Tom, real quick.
Yeah.
Why can't we get, is Alex Cora around? Is he available come the end of this year?
Yeah, end of the year, yeah. End of the year, yeah.
I don't think Boone in a big series is going to outcoach somebody. You talk about the Knicks. Mike Brown pushed a lot of buttons, calling perfect timeouts, lineups, comebacks. Boone will never do that. You will never sit there and say he outmanaged this guy in a 7-game series. It'll never happen. So we all need to wake up and we better realize that this ain't the guy. Come the end of this year, Tom, I want you on the record saying Boone got to go. I want you to make that promise tonight on the fan. You say it. After this whole season, they don't get
no matter done, what, I like if they lose record. Game 7 of the World Series, I have to do it too? Or is it just, no matter what, I got to say it?
Yes. No. I want you to say, if they don't even get to the World Series, you are on record, Mr. Lugauer, Hockaloogie, that you are done with Boone.
If they don't make the World Series.
We will all rally. If they don't make the World Series, we will all rally on your cause.
You know what, Jay?
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you got it, bro. Appreciate the call. If they don't make the World Series, I will say that. I will. Because I think when you look at the talent on this team, the road that they would have to get to the World Series, I will call for it. Now, I said last year that if Boone and the Yankees didn't get by the Red Sox, I thought that was the first time that the Yankees would have seriously considered, or let me rephrase that, because I don't know if they've seriously considered or not. I think that Aaron Boone would have been in serious trouble if he lost that series to Boston. He won, then the Yankees got bounced in the next round, and Aaron came back. But I think if they fall short this year and they don't get to the World Series, yeah, I can get on board with that. that Boone should go. He won't, but I can get on board with saying it, and I'm sure I won't be alone. And I talked about this, boy, might have been last night I said this, or I've said it at least twice on the air since Alex Cora was fired by the Red Sox. And that was that Yankee fans will be calling for Alex Cora if the Yankees don't win the World Series this year. But it just goes to show you, well, obviously Yankee fans, a lot of them are done with Aaron Boone, but also Alex Cora is a heck of a manager. And much like Harbaugh, you know, you don't get these caliber of coaches slash managers available, you know, year in and year out. So obviously, look, the Mets, which makes a lot of sense. Phillies, depending on how far they go with Mattingly and whether or not they keep Don, that would make a lot of sense for them wanting Cora. And then obviously the Yankees. But the thing is, the Yankees have been very reluctant to get rid of Aaron Boone. And maybe it is a Judge thing. Maybe it's a Howe thing. Maybe it's a Cashman thing. Maybe it's all three that want to keep Boone. But if they don't make the World Series, I think you can make a strong case to get rid of him as far as a talk show host. So I can get on board with that. And I would also feel that way because you do have Alex Cora sitting out there. And I think that makes a big difference. I mean, we said this about the Jets. Now, obviously, it's a different situation. But with Aaron Glenn, who certainly has a lot to do to convince people that he is going to be even an adequate head coach in the NFL. And I understand if Woody said, hey, look, it's 1 year. We want to give him another year. Okay. But when you consider the guys that were available this offseason as far as head coaches, it makes things, you know, it changes things because, hey, you know what, we get rid of Glenn and perhaps we hire Harbaugh. You know, if the options out there weren't, you know, I think it was Chris Rock in his stand-up act said, you know, guys are only as faithful as their options, which I always found funny. But so, I mean, the Jets are only as faithful as their options, but they had good options. So it's funny that they ended up being faithful to Aaron Glenn. And we're going to talk a lot of football. Not yet, but we're getting there. I know they keep running these promos. What are your expectations? And I certainly have giant expectations for the Giants. And as far as the Jets, I think I've made pretty clear how I feel about them. But we're going to have a lot here in the summer to discuss the football as training camps will get going at the end of July, which is only about 4 weeks away. So obviously football will be mixed into the conversation. But right now it's heavy baseball and then basketball later on in the show. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. Let's go to Robbie in Lenox here on After Hours. What's up,
Robbie? Hey, Tommy. Can we go back to 3 weeks when you and I and Gallo were jumping up and down?
Yes. Yes, that was...
That was a lot more fun than watching the Yankees and the Mets. So let me say...
That moment was unbelievable, yeah.
It was great. It was great watching you guys embrace. Listen, a couple of points about the Yankees. First of all, you know, I'm not going to blame Aaron Boone for basically putting a minor league team out there right now, guys out of position. The only thing I can say about Boone is why are you putting Ben Rice up first, who's mired now in a 4-for-39 slump? You know, Cody Bellinger hasn't had an RBI for his last 40 at bats. So if you take those two guys with Judge and Grish out, who's driving in runs? Who's producing runs? There's nobody to produce runs. Jazz is hurt. He's hitting .215. Dominguez stinks. Spencer had two, you know, doubles tonight. But let's face it, Spencer Jones is really not a major league guy yet. And also, when Bellinger makes an error, Caballero's not a third baseman. Miss McMahon's defense is worse as McMahon hits. I'll take his defense anytime. But here's my problem. You know, you talk about their pitching. I think they have the most overrated starting pitching. Great on paper, okay? But when you look at their starting pitching over the last 25 games, they've averaged 4.9 innings per start. That is not good, and that is a recipe for disaster when you're burning out your bullpen. And you're right about Tampa. To me, Tampa's the one team that can beat the Yankees.
Yeah.
Why? Because their manager manages Boone every time, okay?
And Tampa and does a lot of things to give the Yankees
fits. You know, yep.
They put the ball in play. They have speed, great defense. They do the little things, a small ball, and that could give the Yankees troubles at times.
Yep. And if they can get – you know what? Let me tell you something. If they don't have to trade George Lombard Jr., I would go after Skubal even for a rental because they need another starter. They just do. Tomorrow night, Cam's going to be Cam tomorrow night, you know, and to lose to Detroit. I mean, you know, it's funny. Detroit's really not that bad a team. You look at their lineup. You look at their catcher. The catcher's having a tremendous year, and they're not a bad team.
They're not. They should be leading the division. I mean, they were a team going into the year that I thought was going to win the Central, and obviously I think injuries, especially to Skubal and their offense not being great, has led to the start that they had. But they're better than their record says. But still, Yankees are better than them, although certainly not right now. But when you give up seven runs, you're not going to win.
Right. I keep laughing at C-Mac. He wants to get a McGonagall jersey. He keeps saying, I want to send him a jersey.
Oh, I thought he got one already. I already thought he got one.
No, did he get one? Maybe he probably got one already.
When we were at the MLB store, they surprised him with the McGonagall
I tried to call him today because I haven't really shared the Knicks championship with Chris, but one of these days, he has my artwork, so I have another Beatles thing for him.
What do you mean he has your artwork? Oh, you're a Beatles fan, too?
I do portraits. Yeah, I'm diehard. Yeah, in fact, if you want, I'll send you a portrait. I do portraits. So Chris owns a couple of mine. Joe B does. Tony Page, a bunch of guys.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
But and then it's
your voice, man, too.
Is it just Beatles for Chris, or is it like sports thing? What do you got? What did you send to Joe?
Yeah, well, I saw Joe ones with Beatles one. Tony has one, my jazz ones.
Nice.
Evan has some things. Moose has an old guy.
Really?
Moose was on my Evan Award winning radio show up here for New England for 2 years. That my broadcast partner died at 37.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, to me, wow, Tommy. Let me tell you, Sean was great, and Ralph Romanette.
I know about the radio stuff. I knew about, but I didn't know that you were a painter.
I'm a drawer, and I also do 150 voices, too, so that's my other thing.
Well, the voices I've heard from you, Robbie, I've never seen the artwork.
Yeah, but man, I'll send you one in the mail, absolutely, brother, and I'll want to Ricky, too. I've been promising Ricky a Rolling Stones one, so anyway, bro, keep up the good work, man. Let's keep the faith. I mean, and as far as the Mets go tonight, just one more thing.
Yeah.
Where's Vientos? Can you kick the ball to right field, Vientos, in the ninth inning? Ronnie Mauricio, I mean... You know, you finally get a good start out of Sean Manaea tonight. Mm-hmm. And I watched the end of the game. I'm looking at Vientos. I'm like, going, man, these guys stink. Like, there's no trade fire for these guys. I don't know what they're going to do at the trade deadline, either team. But the Mets, I don't know what they can get for any of these guys, quite honestly.
Well,
but,
listen,
thanks for your time, buddy.
You got it, Robbie. And as far as the portrait, I mean, if you want to send me, and I'm half joking here, but if you want to send, I'm not like a Rolling Stones fans or the Beatles. I mean, you have to send me a portrait of like Calvin Harris. I mean, if you're going EDM, I mean, you Swedish House Mafia. So I'm not in the same sort of category as far as musical taste in terms of the Beatles, although my mother is a huge Beatles fan, and I do like the Beatles, but I'm not like McMonagle when it comes to the Beatles. And what did you send to Joe? Beatles as well? And now Ricky's obviously a huge music guy. And now Ricky and I talk music whenever we see each other. But, you know, as far as musical taste, I would say I am somewhat of an outlier here at WFAN, perhaps in terms of its history. As far as the music you hear on this show, it's unlike any other show we've ever had here, which is another reason why I continue to play that music, not only because I love it, because I want to, you know, sort of stick out from other shows. I think that's really important. But yeah, I where were we at there? With Robbie, it's hard to keep up with everything he talks about there. But as far as that, the trade deadline. Yankees, I've pretty much talked about, but yeah, adding a catcher, adding a particularly right-handed catcher, relievers, maybe even another bat. Mets, look. You know how I feel, positive Tommy, even if it's positive Tommy in moderation. But for the sake of this conversation, because Robbie said, I don't know what you're going to get, for the sake of this conversation, and Robbie put it out there, you're going to get a lot for Freddy Peralta. You're talking about a guy who's been an all-star, led the NL in wins. Look at last year at the deadline. There was no starting pitchers of any type of real strong quality that were out there. That's why everybody that killed Stearns, why didn't you get a starting pitcher? Well, because there was none to get. If Peralta's on the market here, you're going to have a lot of teams vying for his services. So I think you could really run up the price tag on him. Weaver has been dominant. You're talking about a lights-out reliever who has a track record. He's done it now with the Mets. He's done it with the Yankees. So on big stages, you know, in New York markets, he's done it. He will garner a lot of value in return. I mean, you got a second-round pick for David Peterson. Bichette, interesting, because he could opt in, and I certainly would love to see that. If you get the vibe like he's going to opt out, then obviously you can get a lot for Bichette as well. So just right off the top of the dome there, a couple of players where I think the return would be significant. And I said it last night, I'm getting some grief for it because of what happened in the first inning, but those are just from people that are, you know, they're haters, bad faith, and that's fine. That's part of the internet. I know the real audience here as far as radio and social media are completely different. The people on social media don't listen to the show. The people that listen to the show listen to the show, so that's the people I care about. But when you tune on the TV or tune into the TV every night, you look to the outfield with Soto and Ewing and Bench, and there's a lot to like there. And there's a lot to be excited about. And certainly the progression, you know what Soto is, but the progression of Ewing in the, you know, whatever you know, Benj obviously being up here from day one, but Ewing, since he's been up here and the progression and getting better and better every day, there's a lot to like about those three gentlemen patrolling the Citi Field outfield for a very, very long time. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. If you want to join the conversation, Yankees, Mets, we'll get into the Knicks a little bit later on as well. But if you want to call about them, you certainly can. Let's head out to Old Bridge, New Jersey, and Sean joins us. What's up, Sean?
What's up, Moogie? Yeah. Good to check with you once again.
Yep.
I got to say, today was, like, not the best night for the Yankees, and then not to mention, to make matters worse, seeing Chisholm get into a collision with his teammate, and I'm just hoping that he will be all right with the concussion protocol. And I got to say, like, honestly, I think the pitching was all right, but the hit, I mean, you had Rosario. He did try to, like, put on some offensive numbers, but the rest of the night, it just wasn't their night.
Yeah, it's much of the same of what we've seen from them over the last couple of games. The offense isn't there. The defense isn't there. The pitching isn't there. Really, all facets of the game are not there for the Yankees right now. And when you are playing the way they're playing, that's where you lose, you know, two, or you lose eight games two and eight in 10 games, and you've lost nine out of the last 12, and are on a losing streak. I mean, that's what happens when you're not playing, you know, the way that they should be playing. But look, injuries, the typical June swoon, I think that's what's led to it, Sean.
Yeah, I agree. And I kind of like that term, June swoon. That is kind of cool. So honestly, and the thing is, you're up to this halfway point, and not to mention and then tomorrow you got this
It's a great pitching matchup. I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, because if you are on the fence, I think it's gonna be a nice night. If you want to go see a baseball game, if you want to go see a pitching matchup, and you're free tomorrow night, I mean, even if you're just a baseball fan, I mean, that's the type of game that, you know, Evan will go to, even though he's a Met fan, because you're gonna see Skubal versus Schlittler versus Skubal. I mean, that is certainly worth the price of admission. I know the Yankees aren't playing well right now, and maybe they continue that tomorrow night, but there's very few chances in your life, or in a given season, I should say, more, probably not to be hyperbolic, but in a given season, to see two just great pitchers be on the mound. And I still think the big-time pitcher is a draw in baseball, so I expect a packed house, and if you have an opportunity to get out there and you're kind of on the fence, I would go and do that, because it should be a heck of a sight to see Schlittler versus Skubal.
Yeah, I agree, I think it will be really, really fun as well, and then seeing how the hit, hopefully we'll see better hitting too, because you never know, like, sometimes, like, and how it's going to fan out, and then seeing the pitching, hopefully the defense is a little bit better, and then I wanted to bring up about the managerial stuff, so I got to say, like, maybe this could be Boone's last year. It depends. Hopefully they still try to make it to the World Series, because it's really, really important.
Yes.
And then, like, but if they don't, then, like, the bigger question is, like, is this going to be the end of the line for Boone, or if they have, like, give him, like, one more, like, mulligan to try it again next year?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big test to see how really committed, and we know how committed they are, but to even further committed to Boone, where if this team falls short again, they don't get to the World Series, when you consider how bad the American League is. And there will be Yankee fans. Look, a lot of them are at the end of their rope, but there will be more that joins them if this Yankee team falls short again, especially if you see some of the things that have plagued them in October's past. There, the conversation will open up again for Aaron Boone, and as far as his job security, and we're going to find out if the Yankees will eventually pull the trigger on that, but I think they got to get to the World Series. Like, that, it would be a massive, I understand you can say that about a lot of years with the Yankees, but in particular this year, when you consider the road that they would have to travel to get there, it would be a massive disappointment, and the talent that they have, obviously, the massive disappointment if they don't get there.
I would be disappointed too, because I would love to see another World Series championship come back to New York City, just like kind of like how the Knicks had. They finally got theirs. I would love to see it back to the Yankees, because that would make it really special.
Yeah, and listen, obviously, I appreciate the call as always, Sean. Obviously, the Knicks were on a very large drought, but for the Yankee standards, this is a drought. I mean, for most teams, it wouldn't be, but for the Yankees and their high, lofty standards, which they have set with countless championships and a ton of success, it's certainly been a drought for them. I mean, there's no doubt about it. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. So we took a phone call from a fellow named James earlier, and the connection was just horrible. I mean, it felt like he wanted to get to some points, and, you know, we're very much about second chances here on After Hours. So I said, if you could find a better spot, hit me up. Plus, it sounded like he had some things going on as well. You know, when I take calls, sometimes I feel like I'm interrupting the caller. Like, I'm just sitting here doing a radio show. They could be doing God knows what, because they could be on hold for 20, 30, 40 minutes. Not my intention, but sometimes because of breaks and things of that nature, people are on hold for a while. So I want to make sure that they get their money's worth, so to speak. So James is in Rockland County. What's up, James?
Yeah, I called before about Razzabon, as you just mentioned. So I have 2 points. First of all, one on Shamet. I really like the signing. The Knicks got him for a pretty cheap deal, and they locked him up long-term.
Yep.
I really like that. But the main reason I called, I happen to be a Portland Trailblazer fan, and I really want to know what your thoughts are on today, because I'm really excited we're going to have Avdija Lillard and now Ja. I really want to know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, you got it, Jimmy. I mean, as far as Ja Morant, and the Morant thing is interesting as far as this was a guy that is forever linked, I think, to New York. I mean, when you think about that draft with Zion, and you think about Ja, and you think about R.J. Barrett, I remember being obviously frustrated that the Knicks didn't win the lottery and they weren't going to get Zion Williamson. I mean, listen, Zion is not, certainly you could argue, take into account his work ethic, or you could certainly criticize his work ethic and his weight at times, but he hasn't blossomed into the player that we all thought he would be at a Duke. I liked R.J. Barrett, but I felt like he was a little bit more perhaps of a consolation prize. And then Ja Morant early on looked like he was going to be the best player of the bunch and to be a really good player in the league. And we all know some of the off-the-field stuff, but he just kind of wore out his welcome there in Memphis. And obviously they just drafted Cam Boozer out of Duke, so it's a lot of Duke in the air. But they moved on, and Ja Morant hopefully can kind of fix his career or get his career back on track in Portland. But I thought he would have a really, really, really good career, and I thought the Knicks would rule the day that they didn't end up getting him because they weren't able to pick second overall in the draft, or at least first. I always remember that being like this. It's a two-player, really top-heavy draft, and of course the Knicks are picking third. And I remember being frustrated by that. And now here we are, RJ on a different team, not on the Knicks. Ja, not on the team that was he was drafted by. And Zion hasn't lived up to the lofty expectations that he had coming out of Duke. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is a loogie here in the late night. So we did a lot of Yankees here the first hour. We're still going to take your calls on the Yankees. So if you want to call up now, 888-808-1019. We'll open up the conversation next hour to the Mets, the managerial search, the Eric Chavez stuff, Juan Soto, as far as his, I guess, lack of comment to Eric Chavez. There's a lot of Knicks that I want to get into as well. Landry Shamet coming back on a 4-year deal. There is some Ariel Huck-Porty news as well. We'll find out about Mitchell Robinson probably in the next 24 hours as free agency is getting ready to start very soon. So we'll hopefully get some news as far as Mitch goes. There's going to be a lot of basketball. And like I said, the Ja Morant trade, which we could discuss a little bit later on as well, more in depth. And are the Warriors interested in LeBron James and Anthony Davis to add to their already, look, getting older, but star-studded roster? That's all to come in the final 2 hours here on After Hours. If you want to call, the phone number is 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lug in the Late Night, here on The Fan.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.